Thank y'all so much. I really appreciate that. Appreciate your prayers. Just honored to be here. Carter was saying it. I love this place. I love these people. We've just been able to see God do some awesome things together. We really have. And I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop on what God has been doing, how we've been seeing people come to Him. Because, you know, God is ultimately the one that's building His church. It ain't us, it ain't me, it ain't none of us. It's Him. And He is the one who is building it, and He's doing it here. He's doing it in this city. And there's a lot of great churches in the area that are doing that, are a part of that mission. But it's so beautiful to get to be here with these people. A lot of people in this room, y'all are the source of so much joy in my life. You have poured into me in so many ways, me and my family as well, my kids. And it has just been awesome. And I've loved every minute just being with y'all. So that's why we decided to come on and keep going. And so thank you for that. I receive that. I give that up to the Lord and offer it to Him. But I want to get into the Word with you guys today. And I want to dive in and us spend a little bit of time there just hanging out and looking at it. But before I do, I want to honor the Lord. And I want to glorify Him. And I also, too, want to stir up the body to good works. And I can't do that. So I want to ask God for just a minute. I know we just prayed, but just real quickly, I'd like to go to Him. So would you pray with me? Father, we bow before Your name, Lord. You are the one true God. You are great in power. You are awesome. And Lord, without You, we can do nothing, Lord. Thank You for the honor to be able to have a church, God, that meets together and loves Your Word, God, and is growing and trying to serve our community. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us in that. We need You. And God, I pray that as we declare Your Word, I pray that You would hide me behind the cross, Lord. Let us be able to see You and worship You. And Lord, walk away from this, Lord, thinking how great is our God. Let us do that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today we are going to be finishing the series. We've been in Genesis. We've been going through this. And really, we get to finish the whole entire book of Genesis. And what's really cool about this, and I count this such an honor, is we started this series at our launch on April 7th, 2021. Is that not awesome? So for 4 years now, we have been walking through the book of Genesis and we've been seeing things. Now, if you're new here, that doesn't mean that's all we've been talking about. We've just been in Genesis. We've been diving in different stuff. But in the summertime, we've been going back to our series and talking through Genesis. And it's been awesome. And I went back through just in preparing for the sermon. And I watched some of the old videos. If you get a chance, go and check that out. If you go on there, if you don't look at any of them, look at the first one and watch the video. Because then you get to see Babyface Carter come up on the stage. And it's hilarious to be able to see him in that. And I don't know what, it's only been 4 years ago, but pastoring be rough sometimes, y'all, because it's just like taking his time. No, it's the stash. The stash makes him look more mature, so that's really what it is. No, I love Carter. Carter has been a dear friend to me. He's walked with me through hard situations. He spoke the truth to me, and I count it an honor just to be able to walk with him in this journey. But it's wild to see and experience life. In life, time moves so quickly, don't it? And we're seeing life is full of all kinds of finishes. Summer now is ended. I ended the residency, but summer is going down now. Kids are starting to go back to, or they're already in school now. Everybody's back in school, and the summer is coming to an end. And with every bit of that, life brings all kinds of new beginnings. But it also brings a lot of endings, too. Both are a part of our story, are they not? And that's the same with Joseph. Joseph's life, we're able to see in Scripture, to be able to see his beginning. We're able to see what he did in his maturing, how he went through hard situations. And we're also able to see the finish of a 110-year-old man. A journey of really some terrible situations that have happened to this man throughout his life. People did him dirty throughout his life. And it was the people that were supposed to protect him. His older siblings were supposed to look after him, but they went and turned their back on him. And I want to be up front with you guys and just be able to talk through this. Joseph is a unique character. He is a character in the Bible that finished well. And we're going to be able to focus just for a little while on the ending today. And I want us to see that he got to live the fulfilled life. And being up front with our time together, stating my purpose, I want to give you the reason to listen today. Because you may be in here, and the reason you came, you just seem that it's maybe circumstances. Maybe somebody invited you today, and it just seems like it's coincidence that you're here. But you're sitting here today, and you have tried your hand at so many things to find the fulfilled life. You've looked for it in all kinds of different situations. But my little kids, I love to watch them. When you pull a bubble machine out, kids just go crazy over it, don't they? I mean, the kids workers in here are like, yeah, when we get that thing rolling, those kids are just running around trying to grab those bubbles, and they're putting such effort. If they're up high, they're jumping up. They're just doing everything, going all out for the bubbles. But what happens? Each and every time that they go and grab those bubbles, it's almost like disappointment. You can see, especially the little ones. You can look in it, and they're like, empty. And that feels like life for you lately. You're going in and trying to find all of the things that can offer joy. Everyone's telling you, hey, try this, try this, try this. And you're running after, but each and every time you're coming up like the child with empty hands. And I want to make the defense from the authority of God's word, the testimony of an old man named Joseph, and the least of every one of these, the experience of a young preacher, and say my main point today, if you are taking notes, will be a fulfilled life is a life lived for God. A fulfilled life is a life lived for God. So let's dive into Genesis 50. If you've got your Bible, you can be able to follow around. We'll be in verses 15 through 26. If you don't have it, we have it up here on the screen. But let's go ahead and join me as I read that. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave the command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servant of God your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So Joseph remained in Egypt, he and his father's house. Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were counted as Joseph's own. And Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him and put him in a coffin in Egypt. So looking at the story, first off, to live a fulfilled life, you must first receive forgiveness. First off, you've got to receive forgiveness. Carter explained this a few weeks ago when he talked about forgiveness. And I just want to be clear. Forgiveness had already been handled and offered from Joseph's end. Joseph had handled the repercussions of these brothers' failures. But as we will see, as we look into the text, forgiveness is one of those things that has to be received and applied and returned to. Brother, Joseph's brothers were not applying the forgiveness, or at least we don't see them doing that here in our text in this moment. And several reasons from the text lends ourselves to that conclusion. Let's walk through those. So first, right out the gate, they're sending a messenger to the brothers. They're not going themselves with such sensitive information. No, they're sending somebody to go and speak on their behalf, an advocate to be able to go and talk to Joseph. And the message that they sent to him, and what we want to look at, let's look in verse 16. Your father gave this command before he died. Please forgive your brothers. So do you see what they're doing? They're leading out on the situation that they had already had happen, which is their father's passing. And they're using that to kind of stir up the emotions of Joseph because they're afraid. They're scared right now. Then look with me how they describe their crime in verse 17. Please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. The underlined words up on the screen are my emphasis because they explain the situation in a very comprehensive way by using three out of the four Hebrew terms for wicked deeds in the Old Testament, which are crime, sin, and evil. But the ESV translate it, transgression, sin, and evil. They were doing here in our text what we do when we do something stupid, right? So my wife, this is just an example, me being vulnerable. My wife, she loves for me to do what I tell her I will do. Now that just sounds so basic to y'all. Y'all are just sitting there like, man, that just sounds like, I mean, you could just do that. Not for me, guys. This has been a sanctifying process in our marriage. Because y'all, before I met this woman, I was all over the place. I mean, I'm just jumping in. Somebody tell me, hey, can you do this? I'll go and do it. And then somebody, they might, hey, later on at 4 o'clock, can you come here? And then somebody else say, at 4 o'clock, you come here. And I've done overbooked myself like 16 times. And I'm 4 o'clock is gone, but I gave it away right there. And so in our marriage, this has been a constant conversation in our home surrounded about this area of not of doing what you say you're going to do. And what happens in those conversations usually ends with me saying, you're right, I'm forgetful and a poor planner and an overcommitter. And that's exactly what these guys were doing right here. They were over-explaining their evil because they wanted to make sure that Joseph knew that they realized that they had really messed up. Then, if that wasn't enough, out of all of those things we just talked about, when they came to Joseph, what did they do? The Bible says that they bowed themselves. They fell to the ground. You can just feel the fear and the shame and the guilt that these guys were carrying. They were working on mending what had already been mended. Because the forgiveness of Joseph was not what they were resting in. They were not resting in it at this time. And today, many of us in our very lives live the same exact way. When someone says that they forgive us, we truly do not receive and apply that. And the reasons can be many. Maybe growing up, your childhood, that was the way that maybe people in your life had said stuff. They said to forgive you, but there was always a stipulation to it. Maybe there's things that you went through in school or whatever the case. Or maybe it might just be that you believe that you were not worthy enough to receive forgiveness. You were just too messed up. And I just want to say, I lived my life like that for years. I didn't even know I was doing it either. I believed inside that I was worthless. I lived my life like I owed everybody something, apologizing almost for breathing air. When I'd go to the grocery store and somebody pull out in front of me and I'd be, oh, I'm sorry. They turn around, look at me. Oh, sorry. So apologizing for everything. And this led me to be afraid to do anything. I was thinking that if I went and attempted this, I'm just going to fail. and everybody's going to hate me, and it's going to prove this false narrative that I spoke to myself in my head. And I attempted nothing in life. And so what did I do? Stayed on video games, distraction, Facebook, whatever it is, and just live my life in a haze, watching it pass by me. And I had to learn to receive forgiveness, true forgiveness. And out of that, apply it to myself and others and the dealings with others that I have. And I will tell you what helped me. My faith in Jesus helped me to see true forgiveness and to see that I received forgiveness from the God of the universe, y'all. The one who spoke and the worlds came about. The one who has all power and is all righteous, never makes any mistakes, never does anything wrong. That powerful, mighty God forgives the guy that can't even plan his calendar out, right? All of the things that I had inside, he has forgiven me and given me access into his presence. And listen, today, the God of the universe doesn't want you to live under the shame and guilt of your failures. He has made a way for you to be able to receive that forgiveness today. Look with me in just a few verses that help prove this. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. Surely has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Look again in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The work on God's part of forgiveness is finished. The path to him, it's already been paid. It's already been paved and taken care of. Don't wait. Today is the day to receive the forgiveness and allow it to work itself out in the way that you deal with yourself and others in your life. So we got to start there. All of us got to start there. To live the fulfilled life, you got to receive forgiveness. But the next step to live in a fulfilled life is stay soft-hearted by trusting God's rule. While Joseph's brothers were not receiving Joseph's forgiveness, and instead of receiving it, they are over here, look at them, they're over here strategizing. They're trying to find a way to appease Joseph because they're scared of him. Let's just look for a little bit at Joseph's heart posture towards them, though. Look with me in verse 17. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because all the evil that they did. Here they are, they're talking. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of God of your father. But look, Joseph wept when they spoke to him. So while they were talking to Joseph, Joseph is weeping. If you go back in the scripture, go back when you get a chance and read over the full story. When you go back and you look at all of it, every single time that these guys came to Joseph, Joseph is so tender and so compassionate towards them. He's always having to run away when he's talking to them and weep in his interactions with them. Look with me in Genesis 43, 30 through 31. Then Joseph hurried out, for his compassion grew warm for his brother. And he sought a place to weep. And he entered his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out. And controlling himself, he said, serve the food. He's controlling himself because his heart is so tender. And it's not only tender and emotional, but he takes care of these guys. Look with me in Genesis 50, 21. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph was not only tender but compassionate, and he told him, hey guys, I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to take care of your babies. And as they were scared, they're afraid, and they're all mourning. Even Joseph is mourning. His dad just passed away. He's sad about that too. What does he do? He's sad, but he's over here comforting these guys. And I just want to just get our minds, because I think we hear that and we're like, I want to just quick review real quick. Just take a little pause and just jump back for a little bit. If you haven't been here, if you haven't read the story, I want you to see the way that Joseph was treating them here is definitely not merited from these guys, right? These brothers have been awful to Joseph. So just a recap real quick. Growing up, they mistreated him, made fun of him. Every time he said something at home, they're like, look at him like, get out of here, boy. Get out of here. And then it's culminating to all these things where eventually he's going and he's trying to listen to his dad to go check on his brothers because they're taking care of the sheep. And when he comes up, they take him and they violently stripped him away, his robe away from him, and threw him in a pit, ripping off the robe from his father, which in this culture was an ultimate sign of disrespect. It was equivalent to shanking someone and humiliating them. But Joseph's brothers, he did not care. They did not care. They were not compassionate towards him at all. They were intent on originally killing him. That's how much they hated him. Then here they are, they throw him in this pit, and the Bible says that as he's in this pit, there was no water. And I don't know why that may have been, how long he sat there, but the Bible says that there was no water. So he's thirsty, guys. He's thirsty inside of that pit, and he's probably calling out each of their name, Judah, Benjamin, please help me. He's calling out each of them in the pit, and they had no compassion towards him, no sympathy. Then, to make matters worse, they went and sold him as a slave in forced labor away from his home, the comfort of his family, his father who clearly loved him, and then they lied to cover it all up. Could you imagine? Joseph was 17 years old when he got sold into slavery. And the Bible says when he entered the service of Pharaoh, he's 30. You've got 7 years of plenty. And then you've got to have a couple years of famine for the brothers to be hungry and come over to him. So maybe he's close to 39 years old when he's finally reunited with his father. So that is 22 years if you're doing the math. 22 long years. More years in suffering away from home than being at home with his family. Could you imagine sitting knowing that you did nothing wrong to anyone, and they sold you, and you're homesick and lonely and seemingly forgotten? Guys, if I was Joseph, just telling you guys, if I was Joseph and I had the power that Joseph had, I would not have waited for my pops to die. I would not. When I first saw them jokers coming to Egypt to buy bread, I would have been like the Queen of Hearts from Alice in Wonderland. I would have screamed, off with their heads, right at the beginning. I would have said, take them out. Take them. Get them out of here. But here, this man, with all that has happened to him, he is tender and weeps and shows compassion. But how? How does a man do that? Was he some kind of superhero? Was he like had super strength or he had flying powers and he was just awesome like that? That's kind of what they used to teach us in Sunday school. Joseph was a superhero. So try to be a superhero today like Joseph, right? And let's go ahead and close in prayer. he was not a superhuman. None of us are, none of us can be. So what was it? Let's look with me in Genesis 50, 19 through 20. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. If you go back and go through the story and look through every single time that Joseph talks about the situations that his brothers put him in and explain the situations he found himself in, what was is a constant theme is he was able to look through his hard situations and be able to look through them and see God's divine hand through it all. He placed his hope in his God. The pain that he endured was redeemed, and not one second was wasted. This is not to say that it wasn't hard. I feel like as Christians, we try to pretend sometimes like things don't hurt us. Like we're supposed to be so super spiritual that when we lose our job or we have loss in our family, a hard situation, we're just supposed to be so prayed up that we just got it together, right? We don't have to be, oh, it don't bug me, that's all right. Yeah, I'm a Christian, right? I think we miss it. I think we miss it when we do that. Look with me in Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. When we go through hard situations, it's a fight. It's a fight. It's an all-out war in those moments. Because when you come to the end of yourself, you are going to be looking around for something to put your hope in. For Joseph, he saw that it was his God. What is yours today? The only way that Joseph could be tender and compassionate and saying what he says in these passages is that this man spent several days and hours with his God. Wouldn't you love to have been a fly on the wall whenever he first got thrown into prison? And see that man's prayers. You know, he probably was weeping, calling out to his God, laid out on the ground. God, please help me. He spent his time fighting in prayer, fighting for his joy, but recognizing who was in control and resting in his God. Today, you may be in the heat of it. You're not like Joseph right here, where he's telling his brothers, looking back at the past. No, it's actually a current reality for you today. That's where you're living at right now. And it's difficult for you. It hurts. I want to offer to you hope. As a follower of Jesus, you can be sure of this. God wastes nothing. He takes the enemy's attacks and flips them back on him. And not only can you see meaning in your pain, but you can use what you go through to be able to go and help other people, to go down into the hole and find others who are there and offer them hope. Paul talks about this concept in 2 Corinthians 1:3-5. Let me read that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we might be able to then comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. You're going through hard right now, so that you have the opportunity to run and get comfort. And as he nestles up next to you, you can go back to those who are hurting and show compassion and tenderness like Joseph did here for his brothers. The last point from our passage is to live a fulfilled life. You must play your part in God's mission. Look with me in Genesis 50:22-26. So Joseph remained in Egypt, he and his father's house. Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were counted as Joseph's own. And Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die. But God will visit you and bring you out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Here we see the benefits of a fulfilled life. Joseph lives to be an old man. He gets to see his great-great-grandchildren. And he remembers the Abrahamic covenant. He talks and taps into that, and it just seems like it ends. Joseph recognized and fully believed that his purpose was to be used by God to carry out God's grand plan. And really, the whole story of this Bible and the repeated plan of God throughout the Bible is God is making a people for himself. He's creating worshipers, and he's revealing himself to people and drawing them in. And God used Joseph as a part of that plan, and now his life is complete. We opened by talking about finishing and having a fulfilled life. And one day, you will breathe your very last breath of air. So I actually checked on this just last night, and I really researched this, and I asked ChatGPT, and it is confirmed, guys. The death rate for all humans is still 100%. And it has not stopped since the beginning of time. 100% is still it is. So I just, if you didn't know, I save you the time that I spent on researching it. But if you're here today and you are listening to my voice, that time is not yet. So what step do you need to take to live a fulfilled life? First off, do you need to receive forgiveness? Are you someone sitting here today and you have never realized what it means to be a Christian? Or in other words, to trust in Jesus' forgiveness for your sins? Listen, he desires that you come. I quoted it earlier. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can call out to God right now. If you need help, go to the person that brought you. Go to someone with a tag on. Or please, afterwards, I'll be hanging out, standing around. I would love to go through the scriptures, God's love letter to you, and just be able to tell you what great lengths he went to bring you near to him. Don't wait until the end of time for that. Let it be today. Or maybe today you are sitting in here and you need God to give you a heart of flesh, like Ezekiel talks about, instead of the way you have been feeling, which is a hard, bitter heart. Maybe you have trusted in forgiveness, but you have not been living in it. And that has made you so cold and calloused. You're bitter at the world. You're bitter at everybody. Somebody talks to you, you're going off the handle at them. And a soft heart is not what defines you. Listen, I don't want to downplay your pain. It probably hurts so bad. Whether the situation of that pain is a job or family or your health or just life lately. Listen, you have the opportunity before you to fight to see the bigger picture. In a minute, we're going to be taking communion and we're going to open up the altar for you to be able to come bring that pain to the feet of Jesus and see that he wants to help you. And it is an instant. I'm not saying you're going to walk up out of here and it's an instant thing. You've got to keep fighting. A war doesn't just happen overnight. You got to keep going to God. You got to keep talking to him. You need to pull some people in that you love and you trust. Let them walk with you in that pain. Don't do it alone. But what will happen as you walk in that and walk with God, and you rest in him, you'll be able to use that to comfort others. Lastly, you may be here today and you follow Christ and you're in the family And you're living daily in the forgiveness, and it is fueling you to forgive others. Right at this time, we can go ahead and have the people come and play. Can we go ahead and have that one right now? But you are you're walking in that forgiveness. And you're seeing God move in your life, and you're trusting that, and you're going through hard situations, and you're returning to Him. But really, for you, your struggle is seeing how you fit into God's purposes. You're not playing your part in God's mission. The great thing is, a Sunday is only part of what we do here at Redemption. We want to live on mission together every single day, serving our city. And the first step for you to do is that we have community groups starting back this week. And we are going to be, right now, it's a beautiful timing. We have regroup going on downstairs in the lobby. Go down there and pick a group that best fits you. They got different times, different locations. Your next step is to join a community group. And why do I say that? That sounds like I'm serious. So when you look in scripture, when you look in church history, you will see healthy Christians living on mission the strongest when they're united together. Because nothing beats believers sharpening one another, using God's word and the Holy Spirit and each other to help each other, call each other up into their true gifting. So you need people around you to help you with your weaknesses and build you up in your strengths, and for you to find what your passion for Him is, what area that you can serve the community. So your step today, join a group to be able to walk into what God's mission is. In a second, we want to be able to respond. And what we're going to do is we're going to have communion, like I was saying. Carter's going to lead us in that. But today, if you aren't a follower of Christ, I just want to be able to say that this is a space where you can work that out. This is a safe space for you. That's okay. All of us, every single one of us, come to a crossroads in our life where we're battling that out. Do I walk with Him? Do I not? That's actually wise. You look into it. You see. It'll cost you everything. Give your life, right? You give your life for it. It's a decision that you have to wrestle with. But all the joy that He gives your soul. All the peace that He gives to you when you give Him your all. But I want to just say to you, if that is you today, we are so glad you're here. You're welcome. Communion is for believers. So we're going to do that in a little bit. And this is no shame. We're still going to all come down here and pray. And we want to be able to do business with God, all of us. Because we've got a next step today. There's something in our life that maybe we're wrestling with. Or there might be something going on. We've got time. And this is the space to be able to do that. But just as you come, as believers, even if you're visiting for the first time, and you need to come down, and we love to be able to have you pray with us and spend some time with God. But we're going to open up communion here for a little bit. But for those who do follow Jesus, come get your elements. All of us, let's spend some time, because don't waste opportunities for you to live your life to grow closer to God. So what next step do you need to take to live a fulfilled life? Will you respond today? Let's pray. Father, we come before You. We know, God, that You are so mighty. You are so powerful, God. You are the Lord who knows everything about us. God, You know when we rise up and when we go to sleep. Lord, You are gracious. God, thank You for being so good to me all of my days. I have not deserved anything that I've been given, Lord. I have deserved nothing, Lord. God, I am so broken before You, but God, You are so good to us. You are so good to make yourself known. So I pray, God, in this space, Lord, that people would call out to you. Their God, you would reach us where we are and meet us in the midst of our circumstances and allow us to be able to come to you with our pain, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that if there's people here that don't know you, God, I pray, dear God, that they would give their life to you. You are worthy of it all, God. You deserve all the worshipers in the Roanoke Valley, God. So, Lord, I pray that you would fall, Lord. That you would fall on your people, God. That you would give us the power to be bold, to love others, Lord, as you have loved us, God. Thank you for our time, God. Thank you for the ability to be able to look into your word and the grace that we get to see. Thank you for Joseph's story, God. I pray that we would grow from it today and you'd make us more like you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening with us today. We hope that it was an encouragement to you. But you know, we don't see this as a replacement for gathering with other believers in a local church context. So if you don't have a local church, we would encourage you to plug in with one wherever you are. And if you're in Roanoke, Virginia, we'd love to invite you to plug in with us here at Redemption Church. And you're welcome anytime to gather with us. But you can check us out online at our website, redemptionroanoke.com. You can look for other content or resources there. But thanks again for listening.